Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, last Sunday, Pastor Scott talked about, give us this day our daily bread, pointing out that daily bread encompasses everything in life, our clothing, our food, our bread that is, our water, the air we breathe, everything else, shelter, all of that is in. Give us this day our daily bread. Problem is, Pastor Scott then talked about this piece of French toast that he had, 3 inches high, soaked with cream and egg. I got so hungry, I forgot almost everything he said. I love French toast. So I was going to tell you this morning about what I had for breakfast, but you know, you can only talk so much about Cheerios, blueberries, raspberries, and a banana. So I won't. Anyway, I am going to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins, the forgiveness of your sins, by God and by one another. We forgive those who sin against us as best we can. Now, from the 51st Psalm, I listened to that. Oh, it's always been one of my favorite psalms anyway. But there were some, I picked up some parts of it that I want to read to you. Listen to them. See if you can find a common thread. Have mercy on me, O God. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. My sin is ever before me. I have sinned. I was born guilty. Blot out all my iniquities. So what's the common thread there? Our sins, our pleas to God. You know, the psalmist has a series of pleas, P-L-E-A-S, in the imperative of voice. Have mercy. Blot out, wash me, cleanse me. We're praying to God, we're beseeching God, we're asking God to forgive us our sins against him and our sins against other people. Because when we sin against someone else, we're sinning against God. That's all there is to it. If I sin against you, it's a sin against God. What does Jesus tell us to do? To love one another as he has loved us. Did Jesus sin? No. So why do we do it? You know, if I were Flip Wilson, I'd say something like, the devil made me do it, but I'm not, so I won't say that. Anyway, the psalmist's pleas are grounded in God's essential being, in God's character, if you will. Forgive me, have mercy on me, according to your goodness, to your mercy, your steadfast love. Hesed, in other words. Remember when Pastor Scott talked about Hesed? This is what he's talking about. God having mercy, God showing steadfast love, forgiving us our sins. Now what the psalmist has done, that's exactly what you and I do. We sin. We commit sin against God. You know, when I was a little boy, I'm putting this in just for you, Bob. When I was a little boy, my mom would tell me that I have to treat other people the way I want to be treated, and that I should go without sin as best I can. So I would resolve some mornings that I'm not going to sin today. I'd get up. That ended that. You know, much as I'd like to think of myself as a perfect child, and I was, I still sinned. I remember telling my mom, I'm sorry. I never said I won't do it again, though. Because I was going to do it again. And if I got caught, I'd be sorry. But that's the little boy. I think I'm a little different from that now. Maybe not. But we pray to God for forgiveness. We pray it every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us, as we forgive those who sin against us. Whatever the word is that you want to use, trespasses, sins, transgressions, debt, it all comes down to the same thing. We want God to forgive us. And we ask him to forgive us as we have forgiven those who sin against us, who are in our debt, who have trespassed or transgressed against us. So now I want you to think back to your confirmation days. What was that famous question Martin Luther asked in your small catechism? So what does this mean? We ask in this prayer that our Heavenly Father would not regard our sin or denies these petitions on their account. For we are worthy of nothing for which we ask, nor have we earned it. In other words, we're not worthy of forgiveness. We haven't earned forgiveness. We don't deserve forgiveness. But God forgives us anyway because of his chesed, his love, which is given to us, even though we've done nothing to earn it, to deserve it. Instead, we ask that God would give us all these things by grace. And he does, including our faith. We sin daily, and indeed, we deserve our punishment. But on the other hand, we want God to forgive us. Just like we want to forgive others, to forgive heartily, and to do good gladly to those who sin against us. Now that can be hard, but we still are to try to do our best to forgive. We don't forgive and forget. God can do that, but we can't. But we can forgive. We can set something aside as best we can. I can't tell you how many times I've done that, and I've thought, I'm good. I've got that one behind me. And then something comes up and reminds me. Like there's still that little kernel of grudge somewhere in my heart that I just can't get rid of, much as I try. As sincere as my forgiveness is, there's still something there. You know why that is? It's because we're human. I do it, you do it, we all do it to one degree or another. Now Jesus tells us, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Against what? What are we to be on our guard against? Well, some of it goes to being against a mindset that works against justice, that works against compassion. Not only for the little ones, but for all of us. We're to be on our guard against dispositions that obstruct our restoration of sinners to the community. You know, if I'm holding a grudge against you, do I really want you to be in my community, in this community? I can't do that. I have to forgive as best I can and set that grudge aside and restore you into community just the way that I want to be restored if I have done something against you. Now in our gospel text this morning, you heard me read the word disciple. In the original Greek, the word is actually, it's actually a word that means brother or sister or brothers and sisters. Not disciple. I guess we're all disciples, but we're all brothers and sisters here as well. And I bring this up because of the idea of kinship. Kinship in our community, kinship in our family. We are a family, and we are part of a larger family around the world of people who believe as we do. And the thing is, kinship is severed by sin. If we sin against another disciple or our brother and sister, what are we to do? We're to confront the person or be confronted. I have to admit, I don't like being confronted. Never have. That's why I'm perfect. That was a joke. You know, it loses something when I have to tell you that's a joke. If I pause like that for effect, just laugh. Or break into applause. No, don't do that. Oh, well, just for fun, you should applaud at the end of this sermon. And I get Scott to, did you hear the end of the sermon? How'd you like that? Don't, I'm just kidding. Anyway, kinship is severed by sin. It's an obstacle to full membership in the community of God's people, in the family of God's people. When a disciple, a brother or a sister, sins against us, we're to talk with them. Now, you can call that confronting if you want to, but I like talk because that's just a nice civil discourse that respects the other person. And repentance is, of course, necessary. But then we have to be ready to forgive. And if it happens 7 or more times in a day, that's fine. We forgive anyway. You know, we're not to be like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. Remember what he was like? He sees his father running to greet his younger brother, and he stands aloof, and he's upset. And he really has a grudge, not only against his father, but against his younger brother. Against his father, because his father is restoring his younger brother to community. We're not to be like that older brother. We're to be more like the father, running, embracing, bringing someone back into community. That's what we are to be like, to love as we are loved. How are we to love? We're to love as God loves, because we love with the love that first came from God. You know, only God can forgive our sins. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our petition is qualified by, forgive us as we have forgiven others. Now, this should be taken more as an aspiration than as a limitation. As I've said previously, we cannot perfectly forgive. But we aspire to perfectly forgive. At this point, we simply can't do it. Our prayer recognizes that we have no right to receive forgiveness for our own sins if we're withholding forgiveness from others. Now, these are words that sometimes can be very hard to hear. Remember a few years back, I was ministering to a guy who was on his deathbed. And he was there for several days, so I made several visits. But at one point in my visits, I asked him how he was with God. And he told me then that he wasn't sure, because there was somebody he had never been able to forgive. And I said, are you ready to forgive that person now? He said, no. And of course I said, you know, even if they're not here to hear you, well, I think the person was dead, actually. Even if they're not here to hear you, it's still better for you to forgive. But he told me he couldn't bring himself to do it. And when he died, I think that's how he died. With that grudge, that unforgiveness still on his heart. I don't know that for sure. And of course, I do know that the mercy of God is beyond our understanding. But it's one of those things I've thought about many times since. Can our lack of forgiveness sever us from God? No, I don't think so. Again, it's an aspiration on our part, something we aspire to. It's not a limitation. But the truth of the matter is, my friends, if we're open to receive love, then out of necessity, we must be open to bestowing love. If I want love, I must love, not in return so much as I just must love. If I love, I will be loved. And I am loved by God, as I said. I love with the love that first came from Him. But the person seeking forgiveness must first have taken forgiving action for those he or she has been sinned against. Does that make sense? Thank you. Amen.